T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I didn't think much of it. Once I was just getting to the ball, trying to, you know, make a play for my team. I hit the strike zone like we talked about. I didn't go high. I didn't try to intentionally hurt him. I'm worried about him. I heard he's at the hospital. My prayers go out to him and his family. But I'm never trying to hurt anybody. At the end of the day, guys have families. So I never try to intentionally hurt him. I was just going and flying to the ball like I normally do. I was asking the ref what happened. And they said upstairs, said a part of my helmet kind of hit him in the chin. And that's what caused the flag. But I still believe that it wasn't intentional on my part.
Earl Thomas right there, Ravens safety, created one of the scarier, more disturbing scenes in Heinz Field history, watching Mason Rudolph motionless, lifeless, on the Heinz Field grass. I thought he was dead. I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah,
that was one of them, like, oh my. First, I was like, that was a vintage Ben play. And then they went.
Did you watch the play in the moment? I didn't think he was about to absorb a knockout shot, because I thought Thomas was going to pull up because he had gotten rid of the ball, and like maybe he'd take like a little...
A body shot?
Yeah, like a body shot, but like one of those ones where the defender doesn't want to take a personal foul, so they sort of sandwich him, but he maybe doesn't even go down. And I thought, wow, Rudolph really made a play there. The next thing you see is you don't see any definitive sign that he is breathing, and Villanueva, who has been in combat in Afghanistan, is freaking the hell out. I thought I had seen a man die on a football field, like you. I thought he was dead.
And then to watch him walk off the field like 10 minutes later was surreal.
Well, yeah, because the Keystone Cops NFL and the Steelers in the NFL should be ashamed. The PA I saw put out something about this, the NFL PA. You have a cart. You have a player who is literally unconscious that some of us thought was dead, and he is staggering off like a boxer after a fight because the cart doesn't work. And you've got people pushing this cart that weighs probably a couple thousand pounds off the field. Yeah, player safety is a big thing in the multi-billion dollar industry here. I don't know. Here's one other thing about the play, though. When I hear Earl Thomas talk about it, I don't think he went for the strike zone, as they call it. But weirdly enough, from the reverse angle, so coming in from behind Earl Thomas, it did not look as like horrifying as I thought it would. It's the side more of his helmet, right? You would say, like, sort of the side of Thomas's helmet hits the chin pretty dead square on.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about the worst hits I've seen, Burfict knocking Antonio Brown unconscious, turning him into a ragdoll, is worse. Some of the James Harrison vintage stuff on, like, Massacoy and Josh Cribbs was more cringeworthy when I actually watched it. That was just a very much, like, I saw people in my mentions discuss it this way, and I sort of agree. It was like a clean KO in MMA.
All right,
where a guy just gets hit and goes totally limp.
My reaction to that in a second, but here's the latest from the NFL. Tom Pelissero, one of their insiders, was at Heinz Field yesterday. This is what he's hearing regarding any further discipline for Earl Thomas.
I am told there is no suspension coming for Earl Thomas. That makes sense because after reviewing the play, they flagged Thomas for that hit, but they did not choose to eject him from the game. A defender is responsible for not making contact to the head and neck area of a defenseless player, which Rudolph was because he's in a passing position. But the league office, when they looked at this, did not believe this rose to the level where an ejection or a suspension was necessary. He could be fined.
And I would disagree with the league on that. To me, I thought this was right out of, you said you disagree with this, but I thought it was right out of the Vontaze Burfict, or to make a hockey comparison, Tom Wilson playbook. And then for Earl Thomas to come out after the game and say, you know, I'm different from some of these other headhunters. Yeah, I'm not going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. This is someone that gave his own coach the middle finger in front of 65,000 people.
Wait, how does that make him like headhunters? That's him in a mad because he's in a contract dispute and he just broke his leg.
It goes to show me that this is not someone who exactly is the most composed player once bullets start flying in a football game.
When have you heard of Earl Thomas like getting suspended for hits before, though, having a reputation? I'm not going to conflate a guy flipping off his coach because he's mad about a contract.
How many Steelers-Ravens games has he played in?
Type stuff. So what?
You don't think the rivalry sometimes brings out the worst in guys?
Oh, come on. It's Lamar Jackson versus Mason Rudolph. This isn't Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis versus
It's Steelers-Ravens. This guy's hurt so much about the gladiatorial aspects of this rivalry. We had Aditi Kinkabwala come on with us last week. She covers the Ravens for NFL Network. She said it's different in that building before the Ravens play the Steelers. I bet Earl Thomas
was
ate all that up.
He was the linchpin of one of the most violent physical defenses in the NFL's recent history, the Legion of Boom. And I never remember Earl Thomas acquiring even a sniff of a reputation as a dirty player. He knocked the crap out of Gronkowski in a regular season game, and it was a textbook
hit. You're giving Earl Thomas the benefit of the doubt when he lied to everybody in that post-game scrum. He said, I didn't hit him high. Yes, you did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a player, after they had a bad hit like that, say, you know what, man, I absolutely took his head off.
It's late, it's high, and the guy looked like he died. And the only thing that comes out of it, we're talking quarterbacks now, is a 15-yard penalty?
I did not see him put the crown of his helmet down, launch himself like a missile. I saw him hit very...
He launched up!
High and awkward into the chin.
He is much smaller than Mason Rudolph. He needed to leave his feet and go up into the air in order to hit him there.
How do you know he wasn't trying to make a play on the football? Like, get his arms up and try to deflect?
The ball was already gone, Chris.
I don't know. I would love, because he's a Ravens player, because it would hurt their team, to say he deserves a suspension. But as scary as the play was in real time and immediately thereafter, when I saw enough replays of it, I said, this, for me, doesn't rise to the level of malice and gratuitousness of plays that have gotten guys suspended. Was it better? Was it a worse play than Vontaze Burfict on Jack Doyle, in your opinion?
No, because that play was stopped dead.
Okay.
It was like almost after the whistle.
Do you not
when
all,
he came in? But this was all, late too, but not as late.
All,
this was still tardy.
Okay. All the time, though, I look at plays and I have to put myself, or at least try to put myself, in the defender's shoes. This is one of the, I would say, handful of times where I don't empathize with Earl Thomas at all. He's not the guy that got knocked out cold and practically dead. But I don't think he was going for a kill shot.
I'm shocked.
Mason Rudolph.
Well, okay. I'm shocked to hear you say that. Whether he was going for it or not, it was late and it was high and it was deadly. And the league should have stiff punishment for that. Should they not?
What should he get? It's a game?
He should have been thrown out of the football
should
game.
Should he have been suspended?
If you throw him out, then no suspension. But now that you didn't, and the only punishment was a flag, he just signed an $80 million deal. You think a $10,000 fine is going to get Earl Thomas to think twice about that hit? No.
Earl Thomas is going to end up in Canton someday.
So what?
But he has no prior history to my
Jack
knowledge.
Jack Tatum's in Canton.
He
it doesn't
no
make a difference to me.
He has no prior history. Should that matter or no?
No.
Matters in the NFL or in the NHL.
The first time you do something, if it's egregious and it's deadly, there should be a severe punishment.
You say
I don't
that,
care what
you
you're...
say. Him being ejected, by the way, would have been good enough. It sounds like for
yes.
a suspension. That's essentially about one quarter of football you'd be banning him from. That's really enough for you?
It would have been punitive for him and his team. They would have had to win without one of their best defensive players.
I mean, he's been
that
dog crap most of the year.
Okay. So is their entire defense. If we're ranking piles of crap, though, he's not the biggest one. He's also their highest paid player.
I'm just saying it's odd to me that you would say that what amounts to a one quarter ban from football would be enough of a penalty. I would think
it's kicking him out of a division game. That's a big deal.
It's still functionally about 15
minutes. Let me ask you this question.
Play.
What do you think is more punitive? Kicking him out of a half of a Steelers Ravens game where it's okay, a quarter of a close game, or banning him for a game against the Bengals this Sunday? What hurts the Ravens more?
Only because
okay, there
of
you
the
go.
Team.
Yeah. But I would have kicked him out of that game.
Okay, what about if it was the Patriots?
All right, well, that would probably count more, but that's just the way it works.
But that's very convenient for you how that
yeah.
works.
I've seen James Harrison, and I'm not his biggest fan. I've seen him get suspended for way less than that. The hit he put on Drew Brees where he hit him in the helmet in New Orleans Halloween night back in 2010 was nowhere close to as bad as that play.
The only thing that gives me pause about, not quite defending Earl Thomas, just not getting my pitchfork and my torch, is that James Harrison also defended his hit. And I think James Harrison was a reckless, ruthless actor. But I'll still stick to my guns because I'm a reasonable man.
So just to be clear, though,
yeah,
if that play happens to Tom Brady, where do you think Earl Thomas ends up?
In a jail cell somewhere.
He's like getting the electric chair.
CIA
right.
black
so that,
ops
so
site.
There you go. That's the other problem with the NFL, that there are different rules for different people. If that's Drew Brees, if that's Philip Rivers, if that's Tom Brady, if it isn't backup quarterback Mason Rudolph, Earl Thomas is out of that game, and he's probably out the following week, maybe more. And it is, don't get me wrong, if that play, if that exact play happens to Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football, the entire NFL world is talking about it the next day, and Earl Thomas is basically Bill Romanowski. He is the worst thing in football, and everybody wants him thrown out for the rest of the year. It is amazing that we treat star athletes' brains as more valuable than backup quarterbacks' brains. They're still human beings at the end of the day. They are still humans, Chris.
Congratulations. You have unearthed that treasure trove of knowledge. The NFL is a massively flawed, often stupid organization run by some of the dumbest, richest people on earth. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If he had gotten, I'll hedge too, just to make you even angrier at me. If he had gotten suspended for it, I wouldn't be like fuming that the NFL overpunished him. I thought it was right on that edge, but I would have gone towards no.
Craig?
Oh, don't let him be the tiebreaker.
Of
he's too busy like talking about Zach Greinke and the bad start he had.
Thank you.
If he had hit Tom Brady like that, he might already be like in literally, we might not know what happened to Earl Thomas.
I want Tom Brady as the next like NFL commissioner.
What do you think?
Because he gets things done. Like, he complained about all the penalties. The league made a change
the following week. They banned tomatoes and ketchup products from every stadium at that point.
Mason Rudolph seen at Steelers headquarters today. More information on that in Jeff's update. If he's doing better, what should the Steelers do on Sunday with their backs against the wall in L.A.? And we have to get to this ESPN report on the Redskins wanting Mike Tomlin. That's a big story. James Conner at 5. It's the PM team.
I feel comfortable. I've been ready for this moment. Coach didn't hold back at all. As you can see, you know, we kept throwing a ball and whatnot. So just got to go in and see what I can do better and get ready for next week.
He's an awesome player. He's a baller. Brings a lot of energy. He's got mobility. Can take some shots. You know, definitely we're going to have to lean on him a lot more now.
We're the PM team presented by Chafin Luhana Injury Law Firm. Doing good by doing right. In a half hour, James Conner will be our guest, as he is every Monday at 5 o'clock here on 93.7 The Fan. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll address, if you missed it, a big report from both CBS and ESPN, the Redskins firing Jay Gruden and their interest in Mike Tomlin as their next coach. Devlin Hodges there and Alejandro Villanueva on the confidence he has in Hodges. Very telling quote from Hodges. Coach did not hold back at all, end quote, when I went into the game. Chris, am I crazy? And before you say yes, please allow me to expand on this. Mason Rudolph seen in good spirits at Steelers headquarters today. He was walking fine. He was making small talk with teammates in the locker room. The Steelers aren't going to let him do interviews yet, but it seems like he looked normal today. We'll get a further update from Tomlin tomorrow at noon with this press conference here on The Fan. But am I crazy for wanting Hodges to start the game, even if both quarterbacks are available?
You'd be crazy if you wanted Mason Rudolph to play ahead of him, even if both are available. He's the better player. Hodges looked better to me. I'm willing to say it after one half. That might be because I never subscribed to the idea that Mason Rudolph was the future of this team at quarterback and he was merely the guy they had around. Who looked better? Who put the ball on target more often?
Seven of nine for 68 yards.
The fact that Hodges was trusted by the coaching staff midstream to just step in and basically they said, go out there and play and ball out, and he did. And but for a fumble by Juju, probably would have pulled off one of the more unlikely, like Steeman Willie Beeman style wins in recent NFL history. That told me all I need, or showed me all I needed to see from him. If he was not 5'11", he would have been drafted by somebody.
The Steelers got back to basics with him in the game. They said the heck with the cute stuff. It took for them to like allow for Mason Rudolph to play traditional quarterback. It took falling down 10-0 and them just being like, you know what? That Wildcat thing blew up on our face so badly. We might as well just let him do his thing. And then to Rudolph's credit, he did. So part of what when I say I'd prefer Hodges to start over Rudolph, what I'm really telling you is I think the coaches would build an offensive game plan that made more sense with Hodges in compared to Rudolph, because they have not shown me yet that with Rudolph at quarterback, they trust him enough to run what you would consider to be a traditional NFL offense. Instead, they've got to incorporate things that they think, Tomlin even said this, that like don't put too much on Mason Rudolph.
It's gimmickry.
He said expose Mason
Rudolph.
It's
gimmickry, it's misdirection. He kept trying to throw the ball down the field and couldn't hit any of these deep shots in this game. Hodges made one bad throw and because of a defensive holding penalty, and I'm not going to give Hodges the benefit of the doubt and say he saw the flag and knew he had a free play. He didn't. He got lucky. He got bailed out. One bad throw that got picked off, but it got wiped out by a defensive holding. Other than that, man, I don't know.
Didn't you also feel like once he went in, they figured
They just looked better.
I agree.
But hold on. I had more confidence they were going to win the game when he came in. I watched like two plays and I was like, this guy looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's not crapping his pants out there.
No, he's just dropping back and finding the open man and hitting him with a pass where it's supposed to be.
It also seemed like when Hodges came in, the light bulb went on for them that they could run the ball, I don't know, between the tackles and get yards.
Whatever it is, whatever the reason was, if he's just a better player than Rudolph, I don't care. I want him to play until he shows that he's not. Like Gardner Minshew
came in
and Jacksonville.
Man, that would be such an admission, though.
Well, the Rudolph thing has been a farce from the start. They said they had a first-round grade on him, and they didn't even pick him in the second round,
no,
let alone the first.
They picked his teammate in the second round.
They picked a guy who's baling hay in the offseason and might be baling hay sooner rather than later during the season. And then they picked him and then trumped it up with, oh, yeah, we had a first-round grade on him. 75 other picks came and went, and clearly nobody had even a third-round grade on Rudolph till it got back to them.
One of the things I want to get an answer from Mike Tomlin on tomorrow at that press conference is, can you explain to us, and this was a terrible call, and we've already been over it, and the league hasn't said anything about it, and it's embarrassing that there's not a fail-safe, a safeguard, something in place to reverse the Ola roughing the passer penalty. Someone needs to explain to me how with 2 minutes left in the game, 2 minutes in change, your outside linebackers are Ola Edeni and Bud Dupree and not TJ Watt when he's 100% healthy.
I know.
Does that make any sense? If they had Ola and TJ and they just felt like Ola was a better pass rusher, they know that Baltimore's in a pass-first pass-only situation. They can't run. They're not worried about setting the edge. That's why Ola's in the game for Bud Dupree. Fine. What in that critical situation, am I missing something? Did they have three pass rushers? I don't think they did. I don't think they had three outside linebackers. I think they legitimately took TJ Watt off the field.
Any situation like that is blank and TJ Watt at the end of a game. Especially at the end of a game. It's blank and TJ Watt, and you fill in the blank with whichever the other two you want.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Going to discuss this national report on the Redskins' interest in Mike Tomlin and what that means for the Steelers. Is this actually something that has even a small chance of happening? We'll debate it. We'll discuss it next. James Conner at 5 is the PM team. It's 4:46. Time to visit House of 1000 Beers with locations in Wexford and New Kensington, the home of the best Reuben sandwiches in town.
Nobody's told me anything. I don't have a concern. I'll just wait and see. My key works on Monday. Keep working. Go attack the Miami Dolphins. Plan on getting our first win next week.
And then that key stopped working. Jay Gruden fired by that bozo Daniel Snyder the worst run organization in football.
Not even close either. You know, he couldn't even fire him in a remotely dignified way.
Not that Jay Gruden deserves that, but...
I mean, apparently, did you see Chris Thompson, the running back, break down, basically? Like, all the players liked him. Like, really liked him. An unusual amount for an 0-5 team. Dan Snyder and that clown Bruce Allen that runs his franchise, technically, even though Snyder's the idiot that can't stop meddling, or the guy who behaves in an idiotic way when he can't stop meddling. They got him down there at 5 in the morning at the team facility. They called him down and said, we need you here at 5 a.m. just to fire him like that. A phone call, maybe? Jay, your stuff's coming back in boxes. We'll take care of it. We are at FedEx Field, after all.
They could have had Gruden meet with the media before the game and then fire him around 11 a.m. and give him the opportunity to coach. And then,
or just fire him after the game.
Yeah, that was
in the immediate aftermath of you getting humiliated by New England.
But enough about that. Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports says that the Redskins' main objective will be to hire Mike Tomlin to replace Jay Gruden. Inherent in that, to me, is the idea that in league circles, Mike Tomlin is not locked in long-term as Steelers head coach, which in and of itself is news. Because in no way is there the caveat there like, Dan Snyder out of his mind. He actually thinks he can get Mike Tomlin to leave the most successful organization in football.
It's not like if Dan Snyder suggested that Bill Belichick was his number one target, people would just scoff and laugh and say no. Mike Tomlin, until pretty recently, probably would have been viewed in the same such kind of terms. Pete Carroll would still be viewed that way. If he said, I want to go get Pete Carroll, everyone would laugh at him. Who else? Who else is like
Sean Payton?
Andy Reid right now?
Yeah.
Fair?
Oh, yeah, he's not going to leave Patrick Mahomes to go coach Colt McCoy? Never.
No. But you make a good point that Tomlin is, if this is getting floated, the people floating it don't think it's implausible that Mike Tomlin could be available for the right price in a trade situation.
Which is exactly what you'd want to do if you're the Steelers.
Yeah, how about a first-round pick in 2020, Washington? Because that's looking like a top-three pick, isn't it?
And the owner is so delusional and so out of touch that he might be stupid enough to do that. Because he feels like he's got his franchise quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, right? Which is hilarious. One of the biggest reasons why they wanted Dwayne Haskins is because he's from that area. And Snyder's son went to high school with him.
Oh, that for on Daniel Snyder's sliding scale of like reasons to make a decision, that's almost a good one compared
to
some
of
the other ones.
Here's why Tomlin would do it. Purely financial.
Oh, $12 or $13 million.
You think John Gruden wanted to go back and coach the Oakland Raiders? He was making a ton of money with Monday Night Football. You know what changed the game for him? When Oakland made him an offer that he could not refuse.
You think they'd pay Tomlin $12 or $13 million?
Why not? If there's one thing Dan Snyder likes to do, we know, God knows it's not winning. He loves to make a big splash.
This would be a big one.
When he first came into the league, what did he do? He brought Bruce Smith in and Deion Sanders, and he made that gigantic Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis deal.
Oh, he likes to be talked about, whether it's, in his mind, I'm sure he thinks it's good, but it's not. No, you bring in Mike Tomlin, you are making a major, major splash.
So we've been one of the least stable teams in football. We've been in the news for a lot of the wrong reasons. Let's bring in a proven head coach who's never had a losing season from an iconic team. And by the way, he didn't get fired. We like lured him away. We talked him into this.
We paid a price for it. We were willing to trade a pick because we believe Mike Tomlin is the answer
that would
to what has ailed us.
That would be such a dream scenario. Would it not?
Well, the only way it would get better for you is if the Steelers then pried Mike Munchak away from the Broncos, right?
Yes. Or Lincoln Riley.
Well, no, I mean,
Jim Harbaugh.
You can take Jim Harbaugh. You've hitched your wagons to his Walmart khakis. But Lincoln Riley, if this were actually to come to pass and the Steelers somehow snookered them for a first rounder next year, or even the year after, I don't care. You go, if you're Art Rooney, you say, hey, Lincoln, you want to finally come to the NFL? We will figure something out with a quarterback. We'll try to find who you want if that guy exists in the league and we could somehow trade for him, or we will make sure we spend resources to get you a quarterback.
I think the old way of doing business for the Steelers is gone. Dan Rooney is no longer here. God rest his soul.
Well, no, that's the problem. The old way is still going on right now. They're still being extremely conservative with most of their decision making.
Yeah, but not all. Chris, I mean, some of those, you'd have to admit that in the last year, a lot of the pillars or old tropes that used to be discussed as like, this is the Steelers' way have gone by the wayside.
You don't trade your first round pick.
Yep. They didn't give Tomlin the true two-year extension. They made it 1 year with a team option.
I would trade him because, not because I think Mike Tomlin is a horrible football coach. I think his defense is starting to play better. But because if you can get a first-round pick for him, and you're probably at that point in time where I think the relationship is starting to near its natural end, like the whole end of the Roethlisberger era, why not start clean with a first-round pick in tow that you just gave up to get Minka? It might end up being a better one if you can actually get Dan Snyder to do this. And then you can kind of, I would hope, reset on the idea of we want a CEO-type guy who has a defensive background and go for offense, because that's where the league is headed. Who looks like, aside from Zach Taylor, I'm going to sort of pick and choose selectively, Vic Fangio looks like a terrible hire, right? Defensive guy. They're 1-4. They beat the Chargers, which, to your credit, you called. But that was an uninspiring move. The goal now is to find a guy that can coach up a quarterback and bring him in. And Lincoln Riley is the name on that front.
Well, it hasn't worked for the Steelers that way. I mean, they've always hired young defensive coordinators, and the best coach in football is still a guy who's cut his teeth on defense. And the best college football coach is a guy who cut his teeth on defense. So I don't think you'd have to hire like a quarterback whisperer as your next head coach. I don't. But yeah, I want somebody who either has been like massively successful at what they've already accomplished and you give them a promotion, that would be Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, or I want someone who has proven, even though his college experience has been mind-boggling, and Jim Harbaugh, he has been, I know he doesn't have a Super Bowl to back this up, but to me, he has clearly been a better NFL head coach than Tomlin.
I don't think Jim Harbaugh does all that well with the pressures of recruiting at Michigan. It's a weird, different kind of thing. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't say what so many people have tweeted today. Chris, do you know Dino Tomlin does go to Maryland? Landover called it. By the way, Landover's like an hour and a half, I feel like, from College Park because of where it is. Tomlin, if you traded him, obviously he doesn't really have a say in the matter. You're trading him for a pick.
No, see, I
guess he would actually in this. He would have to agree to this, and then you'd work out a trade he's not a player.
Yeah, I think it would be like when John Gruden went from the Raiders to the Bucks.
So Tomlin can veto this, is the point. He doesn't have to go along with it because he is not a player, correct? He just quit. Would he really want to do it?
I just told you, the golden parachute.
I know, but would he really, really want to work for that guy? I know that $12 or $13 million is a ton of money per year.
Yep, you just answered the question.
And there's an
Chris.
Ego thing, but still, it's Dan Snyder.
Yeah. And then think about it. Let's say it doesn't work there for 2 or 3 years. He has to pay you an insane amount of money to maybe go work in TV.
I know.
And be the next Bill Cowher on CBS or the next Jimmy Johnson on Fox.
How many people, by the way, if this Tony actually Dungy comes to NBC. Pass, want Bill Cowher to come back and coach the Steelers?
Lot. Yeah, I bet that would get put out there. Which would be...
You think Cowher, the siren call of Carlinton, things of that nature, brings him back? Steelers entice him with a box of ugly sweaters from 1996. I don't know, man. Chance of this actually happening of Tomlin going to Washington?
I'd say somewhere between like 20% and 40%.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm stunned
because
that you
the
were
amount of money.
High. Wow.
And I don't think the Steelers season gets back on the rails. That's part of it.
Why does Dan Snyder want to pay big money to a guy who might end up having like a 4-12 year?
Because I think Dan Snyder would just say, oh, I mean, just look at the circumstances. AB went off the reservation. Ben Roethlisberger got injured.
Man.
When you've owned a football team for 20 years and you're obsessed with it and you want to win and you can't win.
No, I know. He would see Mike Tomlin, even though I don't think
he's
be the
local.
Best
he's a Virginia
well,
guy.
Well, no, he'd see him as a big, the big shiny kind of hire.
I brought Joe Gibbs out of retirement. Right. I can bring Mike Tomlin here.
Not one coach in Dan Snyder's 20 years as owner of that team has left the franchise after their tenure with a winning
Chris,
record.
Chris, listen to the names. Schottenheimer.
8-8.
But I'm saying the big names he's hired.
Oh, I know.
Schottenheimer. Shanahan.
Gibbs.
Spurrier. Gibbs.
I forgot about Spurrier.
Gruden, because the last name.
I know.
The guy always goes.
No, you're right.
Dan Snyder always, you never like take some, he could have hired Sean McVay.
Is it more likely?
He had Sean McVay right under his nose.
Is it more likely that he tries to hire Tomlin or gets maybe dissuaded and goes the Harbaugh, you say big names, Harbaugh, Saban, guys like
that? No, I think he'd rather have Tomlin. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 in the South Hills. Join them Tuesday, October 15th and help them support the fight against breast cancer. High of 55 with rain and a low of 48 tonight. James Conner is next on 93.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.